am here in studio with a special guest, Colonel Dave Gavigan, a frequent visitor here to WATD, and we know him as a terrorism analyst and a terrorism expert and military analyst, and we appreciate you joining us today on this 23rd anniversary of 9/11. Thanks so much for being able to be in studio with us today.
Good afternoon, Christine.
You know, we've always stayed in touch since this happened, 9/11, 23 years ago. We were just talking a little bit off air. I think I told you my husband and I were actually in Dublin, Ireland. We'd flown out of Boston the night before, woke up to see the plane flying into the second tower there at the World Trade Center. That was a horrifying experience. And I remember the feeling thinking, the U.S., have we entered another world war? You actually were down in New York when right after this happened. Tell our listeners a little bit about that experience.
Well, when we got down there, Christine, it was about 4 days after the planes had hit, and it was still hot. A lot of smoke, a lot of fire under the buildings. We work with the New York City Fire Department. Great group of guys. One of the stories that I always tell is there were some firemen who had gear on that didn't look like New York City Fire. And when we talked to them, they were from California. Of course, the question was, how did you get out here? Nothing was flying. And they said, well, they asked for volunteers from the Los Angeles Fire Department. They had a plane that they wanted to take from Los Angeles into New York. It was Marlon Brando's plane. So they took on firemen from California, about 10 of them, and the plane flew into New York. Of course, they wanted to fly back with Marlon Brando on board, so this was the perfect excuse. So these are stories that you got at Ground Zero. But working with the New York City Fire and the New York City Police, just great people to work with. And, you know, it was very moving, very moving. Some of the things that I saw, I'll never see again in my life.
Absolutely. So, but you saw some wonderful moments of great bravery. As I said, we were in Dublin, Ireland. There was very little information getting out about exactly what had happened. And I remember just randomly, and regular listeners know I've said this, I happened to turn on the TV. Sky News was on, and they were interviewing Mark DeLuca, the former Duxbury police chief. Out of everybody there, what a random moment when I just happened to see him, and I felt like, okay, it's somebody from home. It's somebody local. I felt, you know, that connection. And, of course, we were overseas, and then I actually was reporting from Ireland talking about, because we found some of bin Laden's money guys were traveling on Irish passports. They weren't Irish nationals, but they did have Irish passports. Mm-hmm. People, the support for the United States was unbelievable. You know, the Garda, if you're there, they usually don't have weapons. They were all carrying semi-automatics. People were stopping us on the street. Are you an American? Are you an American? And I guess the head of Ireland, was it Mary McAleese, the first European leader to come out and say, we support the United States. Meanwhile, back here in the States, it was months afterwards, cleanup stories. And now some of the stories, as we're hearing, a lot of these brave souls that were there, the first responders, helping people, they've suffered because they were there with some of the effects of the smoke and what and the chemicals and everything else that was in the air that day.
And, of course, we work with customs. And one night they came, one night, early one morning, they said, we're going to pick up a prisoner over at JFK. Would you like to go? Of course, I'm in the vehicle before the words get out of their mouth. So we get over there and we pick up one person on a huge plane came in, not marked, no markings on the plane. We took him over to the Brooklyn Detention Center. 2 years later, I'm in Virginia, and I see a lot of hustling going on. I was teaching a class mm-hmm. at this prison, and they had Zacharias Massawi, who was the person that was on that plane that came into New York that we took to Brooklyn Detention. I was able to go up to his cell. He was the 20th hijacker who did not make the plane. Mm-hmm. Zacharias Massawi came right up to me, right in my face, because I went into his cell with the officer, and he said to me, God curse the USA. And it goes to show you, we have people who hate Americans. So we've got to be alert. See something, say something.
I was going to say lessons learned, and you have emphasized this over and over. If you see something, say something. Do you think that lesson has been learned enough?
No. And a perfect example, look what happened at the school shooting just recently. People should have got to that boy a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The communication at that school was not good.
And that is such a disappointment. Times gets blurred. It's 23 years later. You talk to some young people in high school. They don't even really understand the impact of 9/11 or what happened that day. Does that upset you?
Yes, it does. I mean, these kids were not born when 9/11 happened.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine that. And we've got a whole series of kids. And today, schools are shying away from teaching American history. And it's got to be squared away. I mean, we're starting to find out more and more that the curriculum has been slanted away from all of the things that have happened in this country.
If people don't know enough about 9/11 and what happened that day, let's say younger listeners out there, what do you think are the like three or four sentences that they need to hear about why this is a day that should never be forgotten in our history?
This is like, you know, when I was a kid, what was the big day? Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
That was drilled into us. Teachers, school administrators have to start educating these kids. They have to start including it. I'd like to see a course daily.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on in the world? I mean, kids aren't aware of Israel. You know, the river to the sea. They don't even know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
From the Reds. They're talking the Red Sea to the Mediterranean River. They basically want to eliminate Israel, and kids aren't aware of it.
There's some people here, of course, locally who lost their lives on 9/11, and I know that you do know the parents of one person who passed away.
Billy Hunt went to Sacred Heart, but his parents taught at Silver Lake. Both Larry, who is now dead, and his wife, Diane, were with me at Silver Lake. And Larry was at the high school. His wife worked with me at the junior high. Diane, she's a wonderful person. I saw her the other day. God bless her.
It's a hard loss. I know there were other people here locally who were on some of the planes who lost relatives, something you probably never get over. If you have any parting words for our listeners, what do they need to know about 9/11, and what can they do to keep the memory alive and to keep themselves safe?
First of all, keep the memory alive. There were so many people who have just been forgotten. And today, there really wasn't a big ceremony. I mean, unless you heard it, more people were talking about last night,
mm-hmm.
okay? And the debate, then they were talking about 9/11, which goes to show you it's starting to fade away. And we can't let it fade away because it could happen again.
Absolutely. And when you look at the numbers, it was almost, I think it was just under 3,000 people that lost their lives that
Correct.
Day. So may they rest in peace. And, you know, I get very emotional about this. My husband did lose a cousin who was one of the people at Cantor Fitzgerald, who on the 107th floor, they evacuated to the roof. They never got to say goodbye. He also lost another colleague who he played lacrosse with at Cornell, Eamon McEnany, and Mike Simon, a cousin, and a few other people we knew, too. They've never been forgotten, and we never will.
I had a relative who was at the Pentagon, one ring over from where the plane hit, and he said that building was constructed so well. He said he thought that an air conditioner had toppled on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was the plane that hit. And suddenly smoke started to come into the room and they evacuated.
Oh, my goodness. Well, a day that we will never forget here. It's been 23 years since the day of those terrorist attacks, 9/11. And Colonel Dave Gavigan, we always appreciate you coming here and giving us your perspective and expertise on what happened that day. Thanks
Christine,
again.
Thank you very much. You do a wonderful job here at WATD.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Okay.
I'm Christine James, 95.9 WATD.